101.3 FM and 1700 The Champ, a Cumulus Media station. Online at 1700thechamp.com. Steen on Sports is on your radio now.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Thursday. It is Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott.
It's a big day.
My buddy's in here with me. We got a full slate today.
Our cup overfloweth today, my friend.
Holy buckets. You are listening to us on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Happy Hour _SS. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ and the website 1700thechamp.com. We have, after the show tonight, we have Bills, Rams,
the NFL
back and live. We'll be talking about that later today. Want to take a real quick moment here to thank our sponsors of the show. We have Des Moines Orthopedic, Heritage Building Maintenance, Northwest Bank, Palmer Group, Woodman Controls, and Iowa Cubs, along with Come and Go, along with BetMGM. I think I hit them all there. Looking forward to this. I've been looking forward to it all week. We get to talk to our buddy. He's busy, and he was kind enough to find us some time. It's Mr. David Eichholt. He's at David Eichholt on social media. David, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, things going well, man. Just like you said, a super busy week, and it's very intriguing to me because I feel like neither fan base is pretty optimistic whatsoever about the game on Saturday. So it's been a very weird vibe kind of all week.
Yeah, it is. It is the vibe of, yeah, we don't have any shot. That's the vibe that's out there. Yeah, we I don't know who's going to win. It could be 0-0 and we all have to go home.
There is, exactly. It's talk to either side and they're like, okay.
It has a different ring, and we'll kind of get into it because I think you're the way it's going, it's always going to have a different ring to it after maybe the next couple of years, but we'll get into that later. I have to ask you one thing because it's on everybody's mind today. You're not as old as we are, David. The Queen of England to us, I have to talk about her.
My wife, Nana, would
be mad at me. I mean, growing up, did you even know who the Queen of England was?
I mean, maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
But, Steen, I got to say, that you're talking to a kid who fell asleep to ESPN radio every single night. And
that's why we love him.
And glued on his TV all day, every day.
Okay, so that took care of Nana and my wife. I mentioned the Queen of England.
We acknowledged it.
So we're good.
We acknowledged it.
I have to sleep at night. So, and they don't sleep at night, so they can get me while I'm sleeping. Okay, I have so many questions. Let's start with... because you've seen one side. Have you had the chance to take a look at anything from Iowa State?
I mean, I've watched film and I've done enough research on it. I got to be honest, though, Steen, when it comes to SEMO, I almost throw out the tape. They had 43 freshmen, they had 50 newcomers, and that's, you know, they played who's on the schedule, so it's no rip against them. But I've always been a proponent of you throw away the first week regardless for the most part. But I may have to adjust that rule after what I watched Iowa do in week one.
Yeah, see, I would have,
that
I
might be the first time where I actually put stock into it.
I would have said to throw away the tape when it comes to this game, too. And I'll tell you what I saw from Iowa State and what I saw from Iowa when I watched them. At Iowa State, just taking away the opponent, I saw a quarterback that hasn't taken hardly any snaps take his snap, look through progressions, and deliver a ball. I looked on the Iowa side on a quarterback that's now started a bunch of games that took his snap, and his coach even said yesterday, which I can't believe Brian Ferentz came out and said that yesterday, that all the plays were there, he just didn't deliver the ball. I don't think that's helping your quarterback, and I also don't think that means anything, but for Iowa State fans like myself, we have a new quarterback. I wanted him to do that. I wanted him to take his progressions, not stare somebody down and throw the ball. And he did a good job with that. What Brian Ferentz said about Spencer this past couple of days, what was your take on that?
One, I actually thought it was a very good move by Brian. I mean, we're not talking about first-year guy. This is a third-year starting quarterback who is missing throws that any FBS and FCS quarterback should make 10 out of 10 times. I mean, he missed a 5-yard out route to Sam Laporta wide open. He forced a throw to double coverage to the fourth option on route, which is the fullback, while Arlen Bruce is streaking across the middle completely uncovered. He missed a screen because he had a defender's hand right in his face, but you should be able to make that throw blindfolded. The offensive line was not great for Iowa. Let's get that clear, though, too. They had 1.6 yards per carry, so there wasn't exactly a lot of help there. But there were probably at least six or seven, if not eight, throws where you look at and you say, any quarterback has to hit that. This is Power 5 football. And I think that the temperature continues to rise. I think it's at an all-time high point because Iowa has championship-caliber defense. They have championship-caliber special teams. But the offense is so bad that that's all anybody could focus on. I mean, Iowa put together a beautiful game on special teams and a beautiful game defensively. But what's everybody talking about? They're talking about the offense. I think, and that was the most damning criticism I've heard Brian Ferentz use in a press conference. And again, I thought it was rightfully so. I think he basically said, look, we believe in Spencer. We're not going to just pull him on a whim. But he basically said, in my opinion, it's put up or shut up time. Spencer has to be able to make these throws. They have to be able to move the ball down the field. Because the fact is that South Dakota State held Iowa to 166 yards. With all due respect to South Dakota State's team, any of those guys would have killed for a scholarship to go to Iowa or Iowa State. They only got walk-on offers. They went the FCS route. So it's one of those things where it was the all-time low performance for Iowa's offense since 1979. I wrote about that in my post-game column. Iowa has to be able to run the football, and Spencer Petras has to be able to make the plays. And if they don't score a touchdown in the first half, Steen, I think you pull Petras and put in Padilla. Because while you're afraid Padilla might be worse, I can't really imagine it being worse than it is right now.
Yeah, I have a hard time thinking that, you know, they didn't even this was my thought process, that they have to at least go 60-40 in practice this week, just because he was, I mean the misses that he had were really bad. I mean, and for normal people, my wife is like, oh my God, I could have thrown that pass, and I'm not right. So sure she couldn't have, right. But except for that she's really short. Other than that, she would have had that.
David touched on it briefly when he started talking about the offensive line. Now, when you look at that, is his problems because of the offensive line? Or, I mean, is it, can you make one, it's 80% this and 20% this? Or is it, do you think it's just this big ucky ball of everything? Or is it one thing is leading to the rest?
I think it's a combination. I think if you had a percentage blame, I put 40 Petras, 30 offensive line, 30 Brian Ferentz.
There you go.
Because I would say the Iowa's offensive line, I think Logan Jones is going to be fine, number one. Like, if there's a week-by-week progression and jump that teams can take, I think weeks one to two is the most in the season you can make. I expect Iowa's offensive line to be ready. I think Mason Richmond just kind of had a sloppy game. I don't expect that to happen again. Connor Colby is going to be just fine at tackle. I love that they have him offensive tackle, and I think he was doing a lot of guard play at tackle, and I think that's why he got beat a few times. So I think there'll be some more stability there. I think getting Gavin Williams will be a big help just to try to get some running back help and rushing yardage going. But again, there were throws where you look at Spencer, he looked like a broken quarterback. And this is a third-year starter, and it's not like, oh, he just doesn't have his stuff. Oh, I was off my game. At some point, is he off his game, or is this what he offers at the quarterback position? And I think that's the big question that Brian Ferentz and Spencer are going to have to do. And again, it's no disrespect to Spencer. He's been one of my favorite players to cover over my career at Iowa. I think he's a really good person. But right now, he's not getting the job done. And you have a backup quarterback that has started and has won you football games in the Big Ten.
Once again, we're talking to David Eicholt. He's at David Eicholt on Twitter. One of the worst things that I think quarterbacks can do sometimes, and some, you know, you get by a bunch of reporters, and they asked him some coverage stuff. Spencer has no problem spitting out verbiage on knowing what he needs to do. It's not his mind that's making these mistakes. I don't know if it's footwork. I don't know if it's just, you know, he's not confident in what he can do. He knows what the coverages are. He knows what he has to look for. He just can't follow through. And that's something that, you're right, a third year quarterback can't be doing. One of the big things I wanted to ask you, so, you know, there's whisperings about Keegan Johnson, you know, and all those, and Reganey, is he coming back? They still had wide receivers open, and he couldn't hit them. And the fact that, you know, Laporta, you know, that's somebody that he has to be your guy. You have to, I'm in trouble, I'm going to find him somewhere on the field. And I think if he does that, and maybe he does that against Iowa State, they have our number, I get that. But when you have to play Michigan and you have to play Ohio State and you have to play Michigan State, man, that's a total different ball game in Big Ten games and on the road.
You're not wrong. I think there's a couple things I like that Iowa did do offensively, surprisingly enough. Probably the only thing I liked. They made Arlen Bruce a priority. He had 5 catches, 68 yards.
Absolutely.
They gave him the ball a couple times running the ball, and that's exactly what they needed to do. Arlen's got that kind of ability. But Sam Laporta cannot only have 2 catches for 9 yards. That is a top 4 tight end in college football. I think the best tight end in the Big Ten. I think he's just behind the 2 Georgia guys, and I think he's behind Michael Mayer from Notre Dame. Spencer has to be able to trust his receivers. And, you know, while I think he says the right things, guys, I look back at the tape. Alec Wick was open on quite a few plays.
Yep.
Threw him the ball once. And I could see Alec Wick getting a little bit frustrated as he was walking off the field, being like, he's not giving me the ball. And I can't blame him. He's doing all he's been asked for. They had practice and, you know, just throughout the last few weeks. Spencer has to be able to trust himself, and he has to be able to trust his receivers. And the biggest red flag I had for Spencer last week, guys, he began to aim his short passes. The second you see a quarterback aim his pass, red flag, red flag, red flag. It's the play's over. The play's dead.
His mind and his shoulder aren't on the same path.
Interception.
Yep.
Yep.
That happens. And that when that happens, you have to fix it, and you have to fix it quickly. A couple of more things, and then maybe we'll jump back. So you look at this game. I know you've taken this game from tip to top to bottom. 3.5-point spread. I think that's too low. I still think that's too low. When you've won that many games in a row against an opponent, I think it's too low. It's the first time Iowa State's been back since 2018. I thought that was kind of shocking myself as well. If you were setting a point spread, what point spread would you set?
I probably would have put 6.5 on Iowa.
Yeah, I would
really too. Because look, Iowa's offensive line's not been great, and I think Hunter Deckers has a higher ceiling than Brock Purdy. So before I tick off everybody, I want to say that because I think Deckers can be a really, really good quarterback. This is his first real test.
Oh yeah,
yeah. He went 11-16 last year, but one, he was down. Two, he was at home. Three, he was going against Iowa's twos. Four, Iowa was playing its prevent defense, but Deckers did exactly what he was supposed to do, and he was picking apart the prevent defense and gaining yardage and threw a touchdown, right? That's exactly what he's supposed to do. That's a good passing of the test. But what's going to happen if Torrey Taylor pins him deep in the north end zone at the 10-yard line? South Dakota State had 9 false starts last week. Well, if Iowa State gets back-to-back false starts, well, if they're on the 2.5-yard line, how is Deckers going to respond to that pressure and that energy and that hostile environment against Iowa's highly lauded secondary? It's going to be very interesting to see the sort of moxie that he has. I think he has a stronger arm than Brock Purdy. I think he's a better athlete than Brock Purdy. I think he has a higher ceiling than Brock Purdy. But I want to see him do it against highly touted defenses. And if he can pick apart Iowa's secondary, man, if I'm a Cyclone fan, I am amped about what he can bring to that program over the next couple of years. And also, Steen, a couple quick facts about the spread. Since 2015, when Iowa played for the Big Ten Championship, Iowa's been favored by fewer than 6 points 20 times.
Awesome.
Iowa has won 19 of those,
yep,
the only loss coming against Purdue in 2020.
Yep.
16 of the 20 games saw a spread of 3.5 or fewer. Iowa's 15-1 outright in 12-4 against the spread, and 4 of those wins came against Iowa State.
This is as a Cyclone fan, and David knows that, and we've come to terms with that. If Iowa State could get a turnover in the first half, and if it's the first turnover in 7 years, if they get a turnover in the first half and they're still in striking distance and it gives them some confidence, I can see that. That's what I'm worried about too. What I want them to do is keep Iowa on the other side of the 50-yard line and hope every punt goes into the end zone, because he is a game changer, and he's going to be a game changer at the next level. He's that – the punter is that good. Taylor is that good. I mean, he really is, and it makes a difference.
Yeah.
And I had somebody ask me, well, what do you think of Iowa State's punter? I'm like, man, he made me nervous, and there wasn't anybody close to him. But I like our kicking game. So, you know, and that's not always been there either. And, you know, it's Iowa's kicking game. It's not the same guy. So, you know, close game, then you get to see. Maybe people get tight. But that's just a tough thing. When you haven't won a game against a team in that long – it's not easy to break that streak when you're playing on their home field.
Exactly. And I've said it's two things. One, I was thinking about this earlier when I was talking to Sean Bach for our podcast. What's going to happen if Iowa turns the ball over? Because that's a psychological barrier that Matt Campbell's been trying to break. And Iowa's well aware of it. And I know Iowa State's well aware of that stat. If Iowa turns the ball over, I think Iowa can be in danger zone if that happens. So that's going to be intriguing to me. And like you said, Torrey Taylor's just he is a freak. I mean, it's really ridiculous Iowa's MVP.
Yeah, he's three of the 3.5. And if it's your 6.5, he's 5.5 of that 6.5 of just what he did last week. I mean, that's how big a thing. We got 1 minute left, and I got to get through this. When Coach McCaffrey, he has been in on four really, really good guys. This is what Coach McCaffrey, I wanted to get your take on. Coach McCaffrey has to quit telling people when he goes talks to these young kids, because people see who Coach McCaffrey's talking to and they come in late and steal them from him. He should have gotten at least two of those three kids, either Cuchinez or Australia or TJ Power. He should have got at least one of them, and they lost him to blue bloods who came in late. I hate that.
Two things I'll say. One, NIL is a big deal,
yep.
And I'm not saying it was that way for every single recruit. But two, Iowa needs to make it to Sweet 16. And three, Iowa has to beat Duke in Madison Square Garden in December. If they do that, that's how you continue to push your national brand forward. They're doing everything else right. McCaffrey's made a lot of progress. But wins in March and being the Blue Bloods on national stage is basically how Fran's going to be able to get the guys that he's trying to get after.
I'm in with you, buddy. As always, thank you. Next week, I'm just glad to talk to you so it's not Iowa State, Iowa, and we can be on the same page. But I love it. Thank you.
Bye, Mike.
Enjoy it.
Hey, take care, guys.
Thanks.
Telling you right now, there is nobody better than him. Not when it comes to the Hawkeyes. There's nobody. You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We are coming to you live on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM.
More guests
coming
up. We've
got special phone guests coming in. See you back.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and 1700, The Champ.
It's a smooth drive.
The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, welcome. It's Thursday. That means it's Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. I want to thank David Eicholt for coming in, talking Iowa Hawkeyes with us in that first segment. John Schaefer coming in for 2.5 segments. And then Scott and I may have a segment today. I don't know. It's one of those days.
We can maybe muddle through it. Who knows?
Exactly. Want to take the time. You're listening to us on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Happy Hour Sports _ SS. This segment is going to be brought to you by Northwest Bank. Two locations in Ankeny, one in West Des Moines. A new branch up in Ames. Three locations in Omaha and many, many more across the state. Commitment that you can count on. They're taking care of your personal, business, mortgage, agriculture, wealth management, and private banking. Go in, tell them Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott sent you in there. Open up an account. Be very specific on what you're looking for, because that's where their commitment comes in. They're going to match it, and they're going to take care of you so you have nothing to worry about, and that is what you need with banking. Northwest Bank, member FDIC. I will give you the honor of introducing our next guest.
I had the pleasure of watching the Iowa Hawkeye game in Cedar Rapids. Very, very black and gold. And I was with these two young men who are baseball players on the Mount Mercy baseball team. One of them is my son, Brandon. The other one is Brady Cheezel, but everybody just calls him Cheese.
So I get to say hi to Cheese. And I declare Brandon is like half a son. So,
there you go. Well, the funny thing was they have opinions on what they think is going to happen about the Iowa State game. And I said, you know what? You need a forum to do that.
Yes, and let's see if their opinions match their wallets, and we'll be good to go. Boys, how you doing today?
We're doing good. How are you guys?
We're doing good. We just had David Eicholt on, and you know, David just convinced me that that 6.5 point spread's good, and I'm perfectly happy with that, and we'll see what happens. What's going on? Well, first off, just so everybody knows, Mount Mercy is in Cedar Rapids. You guys are playing baseball. You at least have to give our audience, you know, what position you play and how things are going. It's the way you do things here.
Things are going well. This is Brady right here.
Cheese.
I am a
Yeah, everybody calls me Cheezel. Makes sense in all life. But anyway, yeah, pitcher in my junior year.
Yeah, 6'6" pitcher.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
He's like a cheese stick.
No, there no. He's a flame-throwing man.
There
he's,
you go.
He's a big boy.
B?
Okay, so I would give you a specific position, but that's just not me. I could be anywhere from left, right field, first, second, short, third, catcher. We don't know.
He is the Swiss Army.
He's my utility guy. I love my utility guy. You were my utility guy early, too, so that's awesome, buddy.
Yep.
All right, so I guess that you're on here to talk about the Cyclone, so let's go. No, tell me, I'll give each of you a little bit of time. Tell me the reasons that you think the Hawkeyes are going to win.
Or if
I don't
you
know
do.
If I, can, I don't know if I can give you reasons why I think the Hawks are going to win. I don't know if that's going to be in the cards Saturday.
Wow.
I think, personally, it's an incredibly low-scoring game between two subpar football teams, in my opinion.
Wow. What a happy guy to have on our show. B. B, give us some happy talk. I wasn't looking for a double negative. Wow.
All right, so I'm going to take the Hawks to cover that 3.5 that we have right now. And then some reasons for that is you're getting back Gavin Williams, who was out week one. Hopefully that can open it up a little bit. And I think you're going to see a pretty pissed off Spencer in the QB1 for Iowa, and I think you're going to see him air it out a little bit.
Well, I think Iowa Hawkeye fans would be happy with that. I don't know how much Brian Ferentz would be happy with that,
right,
with the whole airing out part of it. But I agree with you. He's
got to get some confidence back.
Yeah, he has to have a chip on his shoulder. You can't play at a high level in a power five environment and not have confidence. And last week, B, he did not, at no point in time when he took that 3-step, 4-step, 5-step drop, did he have any confidence that he was going to complete a pass. And you can't win.
Correct. That was probably one of the ugliest Iowa football games we've seen in the last 20 years.
Yeah. Go ahead.
If Petrus in the first half throws a pick and no touchdown, does he come out in the third quarter?
Yes, 100%. I do not think. I don't think Kirk will switch that up at all.
Wow. Okay.
I think it will be a minimum of week 5 till we see a change at quarterback.
Wow.
Okay. And ooh, I'm unless they are playing Iowa State, I am a Hawkeye fan. I have too many kids that I've either coached or done. Listen, I don't know what you're going to do. Alex Padilla is not the answer. He's a backup to Spencer for a reason. I don't know what. It'd be nice if they had somebody like a running quarterback or just something different. Every quarterback they have is the same.
Exactly. That is 110% the problem. And there's I think he's a sophomore, the third string. I don't know. What I kind of thought was throw him out there, give him a chance, you know. And then either or, you'll have them for another 3 years.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
You know,
one of the things that we wanted to talk to you about, because a different age group, so, you know, we like to see different viewpoints. When you take a look at Kirk Ferentz, what is your feelings about Kirk Ferentz? Cheese, go first.
I really have no bad feelings towards Kurt. He's been the coach ever since I've been alive, pretty much. And so I don't have too many bad feelings towards Kirk as much as it is his son. I mean, the play calling with Brian is just not good, not what it needs to be. But so, and Kirk, I don't have a problem with, but again, it stems back to he's not firing his son. It's not going to happen. And he's not pulling his quarterbacks, which, credit where credit's due, he's won a lot of games, and that's kind of always been his philosophy. He's always – those quarterbacks, even when last year, when they got to the championship, Big Ten championship game, Petros was still in there. And he's still – Iowa fans were still very mad at the performance he showed on the field. So I got to give Kirk a little credit, you know, because he's been a football coach for a long time, and he knows what he's doing.
B, what's your take?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat with that one. Is you've seen the guy win over and over again for more than 2 decades. You can't really blame it on the head coach because he knows how to win football games. I think you need to figure out some issues on the lower side of things with your assistants, maybe, or, you know, maybe we get some young guys in there on the back end of things and see what we can do with the team. But I do not think Kurt is the issue for Iowa football at the moment.
See, and I think Scott and I both agree with that too. And I'm glad that you guys said that, because that's something I'm looking for from them too.
Right.
Is trying to skew a little younger on the coaching side and look for more different style of people.
Right. Well, we're seeing that in the NFL, where the older coaches are getting phased out. We're getting the new the new young. They look good. They're flashy. They're offensive oriented. It's good to hear that from these two, that there isn't a distance between the age of Kirk now and the players don't feel that they have a connection to him anymore. It's good to hear that.
And that's the thing with Nick Saban. Nick Saban is actually a couple years older than Kirk Ferentz. But Nick Saban, most of his assistant coaches, especially ones on the offensive side of the ball, are very, very, very young.
Yep.
And they keep losing them, and he keeps bringing new in. You know, that's the thing that Iowa...
Maybe it wouldn't hurt that Iowa would lose.
Right, and that's the thing that Iowa and Iowa State both are facing right now, is that they don't have young coaches that people are coming and trying to pick away. So, you know, they're trying to get to that point. So it's an interesting thing. I'm going to ask you guys, we'll go through some games and have you pick some games with us. But I just have a question for you, because I'm a baseball nut. And, you know, and I've gone through this with my son, and tell the audience, when you're looking at baseball, it is when you're trying to get to play baseball at a Division I level, the numbers are very small. And then you have to try to figure out what you want to do. What led you to Mount Mercy? What was the one thing that you said, you know what, I can do this, I'm going to go there, it gives me a different perspective? What were you looking for?
Well, I mean, first things first, you know, at the obviously the D1 level can give out scholarships. And then, you know, those numbers get very limited at the D2 level. And then, you know, there's none at the D3. And so when I wanted to play baseball in college, you know, I needed to get some money for it. And so NAIA gave the opportunity, which Mount Mercy is an NAIA school. And so that was a really big thing. And then another big thing is that I coach and I tell my kids is go somewhere where you can play. If you have a chance of playing, that's your better opportunity. You know, there's too much of a mentality now where it's kind of like D1 or bust, which it's just not the case anymore. There's so many other paths that can be taken now.
And it doesn't limit your ability to get to major leagues. There are people that did not play Division I baseball that gets to the major leagues. That's got to help you guys as well. B, how about you?
Yeah. Mine is a little bit different than Cheese's over here. I didn't really think I was going to play a college sport, and then it started to become a reality when teams were reaching out a little bit more. And then during the recruiting process, I went to a couple of Division III's, and then Mount Mercy texted me and said, you should come on a visit. And I came up here, and I'll give Dom some credit. He's one heck of a recruiter, and fell in love with the school and fell in love with where he said the program was going to go, and thought this would be the best fit.
I'll also tell you a side note on this from a father's standpoint. Brandon and I toured the Mount Mercy campus. He actually said the phrase, I could see myself going to school here, before he said being an athlete. So I went, okay, we have a winner.
Yeah.
So, no, it's...
That wouldn't be the first thing that I thought I would hear out of B's yeah. mouth.
Speaking of Coach Dom, I know you guys are coming up where you're going to play in Omaha at TD America against Creighton, a week from Saturday. We're going to reach out and see if we can get Dom on the show next week, do a little chatting as well.
Sounds good. We'll see if he'll man up and do that or not.
I think he knows both of us well enough that,
right.
that he'll
Steen,
come on.
You gonna throw
here.
Some NFL at
yeah,
him?
Yeah, let's hit some. Do you have them up on your? I don't have them up on my thing. You just have to pick winners on these. Go ahead.
All right, we're gonna go with these are our pick.
Touchdown bits.
Our touchdown ones.
Yep.
Steelers, Bengals by 6.5. Where are we going on that one, boys?
No, I'm gonna go with the Bengals on that.
Same Bengals cover.
Okay, both.
All right, next one is Browns and Panthers. Panthers by 2.5. The Revenge Bowl for Baker Mayfield.
I'm going with Baker Mayfield and the Panthers.
All right, you two Cheese?
I don't think Baker's that good of a quarterback.
Oh, so you're going Browns?
He went the other way.
All right. Jets and Ravens. Ravens by 7.
Be careful, B.
Ravens.
Yeah, that's my boy.
All right. Yeah, I'll be taking Ravens.
All right, I got B and C on that one. Raiders and Chargers. Chargers by 3.5.
Ooh, I'm going Raiders here. I think you're going to see Derek Carr and Davante Adams go off.
There you go.
I got to stick with Chargers. Herbert.
All right, last one is the one that your mom cares about, the Packers and the Vikings. Packers are 1.5-point favorites.
Where's that game at?
It's in Minnesota.
Minnesota.
You're not coming home this weekend.
I just don't think you're going to see the Packer team you've seen in the past.
Yeah, no Alan Lazard either. That's going to hurt. Yeah.
Well, it's questionable. It's not out. But
he's tough.
He got
too.
Stepped on. That had to be a bad one. Cheese, where are you going?
I got to pick Packers.
There you go. All right, gentlemen. I assume you've just got a night full of studying you have to do yet, correct?
Yeah, we'll go with that, with some NFL football on tonight.
Where do you go? You go down to MoCo? You go down to Sagwagon? Where are you going?
No, I think we're just going to stay here and drink some water in our own house. And
that
play
is
the dogs
such
from.
A smart choice
that is a
and
smart
a lie.
Choice.
I love it. Yeah. So
you're no more believable over the telephone as you would be if you were standing here, my friend. All right, boys, we appreciate it. Thank you. This is what we're going to have to do. Once all this on – are you, you're not in here on Monday. You're not in here on Tuesday.
I'm in Chicago next week. Yeah. So, you have the capability of doing the show.
I'm going to give you guys a call on Monday, and we'll talk about it. How's that?
Sounds good.
You up for that, Cheese?
Of course.
All right, buddy. We appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
All right, good seeing you guys. See ya.
We are safe.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. David Eicholt and those two, we're safe. I mean, they're not going to throw us in a home and lock the doors. We're safe.
I don't know.
We're okay.
I don't know if David Eicholt is going to agree with that, but
we're okay. It's funny because when they look at things differently. David looks at things way differently than I do.
Well, and I think you really brought up a great point of looking at, okay, they are the early 20s, how do they view Kurt Ferentz? Is he past his prime? Is there still a connection?
And they don't buy that. They think the only thing that's wrong with Kirk Ferentz is
Brian.
Is Brian. that it puts too much, it puts, see, that's always been my thing. It puts undue pressure on Kirk, but it puts undue pressure on the football team because they have to listen to it too.
Right.
But a bonus for the football team is, well, at least they're yelling at him and they're not yelling at me, you know. The fans.
And the thing with it, the thing with this is, everybody says, "Well, it's an assistant coach." It's this. No, the leader of the band is the leader of the band. It does all go back to Kirk. If he's not going to address the problem or say there's not a problem, then the blame goes as much as on him as it does Brian.
Right, and that's the way it is, you know. And it's not based on age. It's not based on. It shouldn't be based on anything except for wins and losses and how good.
Yes.
And the wins and losses that the Iowa Hawkeyes have had are not because of Brian Ferentz. He's not bringing something to the table. And I think the crazy thing is, I've seen him in other places. He was on the Baltimore Ravens coaching staff.
Yeah.
He has a bright mind.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't think he thinks he can bring it out. So I think they're both hurting each other.
Yeah. I agree with that.
You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We'll be back right after this.
This season, Northern Iowa fans lives and breathes Iowa sports. Steen on sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Thursday. It is a Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott Thursday.
It's a busy day.
It was nice to have a couple of guests. We had David Eicholt in. We had Brandon and Cheese come in. That was kind of cool. A couple of Mount Mercy kids getting their first radio
taste. In
the heart
of black and gold country.
Absolutely. You can check us out on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at Happy Hour _SS for the day. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. After the show tonight, it's a no-brainer. It's Bills. It's Rams. It's NFL Thursday Night Football. Starting the season off with an amazing game. Not as amazing as our getting to see my next guest. get to see him in person, get to at least talk to him. It's Mr. John Schaefer. Schaefer, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. It's been like, what, a year since I talked to you last or something? Maybe it was bowl games.
I think it has been. You know, you had a little, you know, you can't contract talks. You can't do that.
Were you busy for a year or just was it a choice not to talk to
him? I think I just disappeared.
He disappeared.
You know, one of those mafia things.
There you go.
They tell you disappear or we'll make you disappear.
Just hearing your angel voice is making my mom and Nana happy. So
Hi, gals. Nana.
Everything's better. Okay, so no longer the sports director at WOI5. Couple of things. First off, tell us where you went. And the second one, how tough a decision?
Let's start with where I'm at. Bing Bang Media Marketing. I do marketing assets now. I'm the director of content over there for Bing Bang and a little 13-person operation in Waukee. A lot of fun, great culture. And the owner, Brandon Bingham, his brother's Dave, who helped me for
years,
close to a decade there on Friday Night Blitz.
Dave
keeps Dome Dynasty going, and he's certainly a big part of Friday Night Blitz, even as it carries on. And so mad respect to Dave, and really, really love working for Brandon, and we got a great team over there, a lot of fun, just different. You know, it's very different. As for difficult? Yeah. I mean, my last night on air, in studio, I couldn't even get through my, goodbye speech because it's a tough decision. You do it for a decade, and then you question, is this the right move? But then, you know, the next week after I made the move, I'm home every night with my kids and my wife helping out with the girls. I mean, I've got a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old at home and then another on the way here in November. So, I mean, my household is busy enough with, I think what a lot of people don't realize about that role is I work a 2 to 11 shift. Sports happen 6:30 to 9:30. So I'm not getting home for dinner break after that 6 o'clock newscast. So my wife took that all on herself and never complained about it. But internally, it was always something I needed to get away from.
She's always been a rock star, by the way.
Baller. So. Shot collar.
Yeah, she is. So. I mean, that is. Well, congratulations on the 3rd.
Yeah.
November. That's a great month. November 6th. Just make it be that. And then,
I think we're somewhere around the 17th, maybe. I don't know.
Because the 6th, that worked out well for on the 6th.
I told my wife, I said, tell me where to be. It's number 3. I mean, there's not a lot new to know here.
Yeah, it's just like putting out carpet now, right?
Just going to run in there.
Just, hey, all right, having a kid, let's go. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Lots gone on since the last time we talked. A bigger sports fan now or a different sports fan?
Sports fan now. I can actually be a fan.
Yes.
I still look at things with that perspective of an analyst, so to speak. I'm analyzing things. It's hard not to when Iowa puts up 7 points last week. But, you know, probably more active on the sports betting websites. Against my wife's will there. Yeah. I mean, but hey, March Madness was good to me. Otherwise, no, just different. You know, I can sit on a couch and have a beer. I'm not constantly looking at a sporting event through a lens, and that's a lot of fun for me.
Yeah, and we miss you. I mean, that's not having that, you know, at 6 and 10, it's a big deal. I mean, we miss seeing you. So, but glad to have you in here. Glad it finally worked out.
Yeah, and we got to make this more regular. I'm sorry.
We do. Absolutely.
You've reached out like 4 times in the last 2 months, and I'm like, sorry, Steen.
He's just bagging
busy,
me.
I'm sorry.
Everybody knows.
Good week to get it done, though.
It was a good week to get it done. This just fascinates me. So before we jump into sports, reacquaint the audience. Your dad's still rocking and rolling, man.
My dad's still going.
Give us a little update on your dad.
Maxwell, if those of you don't know, Maxwell on WHO
Maxwell
Radio, he took over for Van Harden. He was on KIOA for
ever. Okay.
So he graced me with a few pipes, you know, for radio. And so he's doing great, though. I mean,
he like it?
He loves it. I mean, he's right where he needs to be. I don't think there's ever been a better role than a morning show for that guy. Now he can just talk everyone's ear off so he doesn't talk mine off when he's done. But no, it's been great. He's loving it over there. I know they're competitors, you know, technically, but he's a legend in my book, and he's my claim to fame and always will be. And doesn't matter how big I get, he's always bigger.
He's just an icon. I mean,
is it, I mean, it's obviously it's decades. Is it 30 more than?
It's got to be over. I mean, wow. They moved here in 84 or 86, one of the two.
Yeah, Gary, you were like, what, 30?
84? Graduated from high school, buddy. Thank you.
So,
it,
I mean.
It sounds like it, but yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's crazy
now,
to think about.
I could be forgetting when I, because I could be that
old.
Doing
great.
I'm just happy.
You're getting
so,
better with the dead air. Out.
I just, yeah.
Okay, now that you get sports time.
Yeah.
Your favorite sport to watch is?
Still hockey.
Yep.
Still playoff hockey guy. I love NFL. Fantasy football keeps me engaged in that. College football is great, sports betting-wise. Cyclones, Hawkeyes, love it. Again, you're just tied to it, right? But for me, I'm a hockey guy through and through, and actually have some fun stuff coming up with the Wild this year and hopefully and that kind of thing. And so we'll see what shakes out there. But, no, hockey's my love.
He is. His love.
Play that's men's league on Sundays.
That's all everyone to talk about. I'm like, John. And then we started talking about it.
Need to sit down with
how could I say no?
And then learn me. Learn me why, because I've tried to watch hockey, and I'm just, but.
See, and he had me
at playoff hockey.
He had me at playoff hockey. He had me at playoff hockey. I mean, exactly. I got that one. So kind of a great start. Here's one of the things that I've said about Major League Baseball, and I've said it for since I've been doing this, and I think I'm going on five. This is my fifth year. It'll start my fifth year.
Yeah, crazy.
Is you guys got to cut your season down because you cannot play baseball into football season. You're done. You lose a lot. Now, you could have the playoffs in the start of the football season, but you can't have another 25 games and then go into the playoffs because now you're in the heat of college football and pro football. They're never going to do it. I wish they would. We have Randy Wehofer comes in at least once a week, and he's like, they just won't do it because of revenue. They know it's better for the game. Right. They know it's better for the players. They know there'll be less injuries.
Yeah.
They just can't give up the money.
Although I do like a late September night versus like a dead of July day for a game.
Amen no. Yeah.
But totally no, I agree. I mean, I think the problem is we have football every night of the week now outside of Wednesdays.
Yeah. It's crazy. So I mean, it's hard to compete against football.
And baseball takes too long. Minor league baseball's figured it out. Pitch clock has gotten games down averaging under 2.5 hours.
Yep.
And they need to do it to Major League Baseball because I'm sick and tired of 4-hour baseball games with no scoring or what have
you. And they've done it. Like Randy said, they're cashless. You move through lines.
Right.
You get back to your seats. There's all kinds of things to do. They still keep you entertained with other things. Or if you just want to watch baseball, you can ignore the rest and just watch baseball. They rock it. They really do.
What's the last stat, though? They're over 55% of vote of unionizing minor league.
That hurts.
That hurts.
It doesn't.
Randy made some good points on that.
I don't think it hurts here.
Right.
But it hurts minor league baseball.
It's going to make smaller.
You're going to have a whole bunch of stadiums that are really cool around the state of Iowa that aren't going to have baseball games anymore if they do that.
And they're already struggling.
Yeah, absolutely. It is Iowa State week, and you know that's always a really big week. There's been times when you've watched their first games and you come into this game, and if you're an Iowa State fan, you're like, oh yeah, or if you're an Iowa fan, oh yeah. I watched both games. I was at the Iowa State game. I rewatched the Iowa game, and I'm like, I know they played Simu, and I'm perfectly fine with that. And I said that in all my social media and everything. They did what they were supposed to do against Simu. Iowa did not do what they were supposed to do against South Dakota State.
Offensively, yes. South Dakota State, though, is the number two or number three team
absolutely.
In FCS. I get you. There's a discrepancy between FBS and FCS, certainly.
Yeah.
But if that's NDSU, they probably lose that game. If it's South Dakota State probably could have won that game if their offense had any sort of
sustained drive. At South Dakota State, you lose that game.
Well, and so I don't think that you can sit there and say Iowa didn't do what they're supposed to against South Dakota State. I think South Dakota State had a good game plan. Iowa plays vanilla week one every year.
Amen.
You talk about that every day of week two. And so they don't put anything on film for Iowa State to study. I saw a great tweet, maybe it was Eichold actually, that said it's genius of what Kirk Ferentz did last week because you actually force Iowa State to have to sit there and watch that entire game again. So, I mean,
and get false hope.
And get false hope. No, I think this is the year for Matt Campbell to do it.
I don't think that Iowa has the tenacity on the offensive line that they've had in the past,
yep.
And they don't have the wide receiver core.
And I think even though Hunter Decker's made one bad throw last week, I think he's less prone to make mistakes than Brock Purdy was. I'm going to be very excited. You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We got John Schaefer in here. I got Scott in here. We will be back right after this break. 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Be right back.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 FM.